Shalom and Yeshua. This is Rabbi Deborah Brandt, and today is day 49 of our 50 days to counting to Shavuot, the name above all names, Yeshua, the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh and Shavuot. Acts 2:1-3. The festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which was separated and came to rest on each of them. Verse 4, they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Excuse me. It is in this framework of Jewish thought and custom in which Shavuot is celebrated as a festival of harvest and Torah that the events of Acts 2 must be understood, because it was God's intention to bring the Jewish New Covenant, Jeremiah 31:30-33 and 31:31-34, to the Jewish people in a Jewish way. He made maximum use of the Jewish festivals to convey new truths in ways that emphasize their connection with old truths. Thus God promised to Jeremiah, "I will write my Torah on their hearts." This he does as he gives his Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4. The same one God gives both Torah and Spirit, which thus are in one sense on the same one holiday, Shavuot, to the same one people, the Jewish people, stretching through history from the fire on Mount Sinai to the tongues of fire at Jerusalem, Acts 2:2-3. Yeshua himself is called the first fruits, 1 Corinthians 15:23, and he speaks of a harvest of people with prepared hearts, Matthew 9:37-38 and John 4:35. Later in the present chapter, Acts 2:41, 3,000 persons become the first fruits of the Spirit-empowered activity of Yeshua's Talmudim. While Romans 8:23, what believers have now of the Holy Spirit is said to be the only the first fruits in comparison with what is to come. Yeshua spoke of himself as the bread of life, John 6:35. Since leavened stuff, chametz, symbolizes sin in the Tanakh, Yeshua represented himself as sinless by using unleavened bread, matzah, to inaugurate the new covenant. Luke 22:20. The Shavuot bread offering is made with leaven, symbolizing God's people as having sinned before Yeshua's atoning death. Later, Shaul writes to the Messianic community in Corinth that in reality you are unleavened, for our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed, 1 Corinthians 5:6-8 and 1 John 1:5-10. The two loaves of the offering can now be understood as representing God's expanded people, compromising of Jews and Gentiles in Messiah Yeshua, Romans 11:17-26. The book of Ruth points up a lesson not to be ignored. Ruth the Moabitess was added to the Jewish people with her noble confession, "Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God," Ruth 1:16. This woman who became an ancestor of Yeshua, Matthew 1:5, expressed her loyalty to the Jewish people even before she spoke of God. But over the centuries, many calling themselves Christians have done just the opposite, hating the Jews, accusing them of deicide, and ignoring the New Testament's warning not to boast against the Jewish roots, Romans 11:16-26. The book of Acts shows Gentiles now become part of God's people without becoming Jews themselves. But no Gentile can become a Christian if he cannot say to Jews, "Your people shall be my people." At the same time, he says, "Your God shall be my God." And again, we are one in Messiah, Yeshua. We have been grafted into the olive tree of Israel, whether Jewish or non-Jewish. It is also no accident God chose the holiday connected with Torah to send the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to empower the life of each Talmud, or each Talmid, disciple, and to empower the entire Messianic community. Achad Hayam epigram, "More than Israel has kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept Israel," implies that it is the power of the Torah which has preserved the Jewish people through the centuries. Likewise, it is the power of the Holy Spirit which has changed the lives of millions for the better and enabled them to testify to God's changing power even in the face of great persecution. One need only compare Kepha's own ineffectiveness prior to receiving the Ruach HaKodesh with the inspiring sermon quoted in Acts 2, 14-40. Just as the Torah, the Hebrew word which means teaching, not law, teaches God's truth, so the Holy Spirit teaches God's truth, John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. The truth of the Torah set forth in the Tanakh is not different from the truth of the Torah set forth in the New Testament. The Messiah's Torah is not different from our, or an improvement over God's Torah in the Tanakh, for the Torah of Adonai is perfect, Psalm 19:7. And does not need improvement. Shaul calls it holy, just, and good, Romans 7:12. What more could we ask? What is different in the receptiveness of those for whom the Torah is meant, due to having a new spirit and a heart of flesh, Ezekiel 36:26, in which the Torah is written, Jeremiah 31:32 and 33. A heart receptive to the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Thus the Holy Spirit in believers' life makes the Torah even more real to him, and the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh on Shavuot only heightens the significance of the giving of the Torah on Shavuot. The parallels between Sinai and Pentecost continue. One, at both the Torah was delivered to God's people. At Sinai, the Ten Commandments were written on tables of stone by the finger of God, Exodus 31:18. While at Pentecost, the Torah was written on tables of heart, 2 Corinthians 3, 16-18. In fulfilling of the prophecies of Jeremiah 31 in Jewish Bibles, and Ezekiel 36:26, far from replacing, canceling, or contradicting the Torah of Moses, the Holy Spirit confirms it for Messianic believers, Romans 3:31. Two, both took place at Shavuot. Three, both were accompanied by theophanies. Four, both were accompanied by many languages, voice, and tongues. See Acts 2, 14 and 13. Five, both were accompanied by fire. The fire at Mount Sinai was one fire visible by all. The fire at Yerushalayim divided itself and rested on each one individually. Thus at Sinai, the Torah was given externally to the people as a whole, while at Yerushalayim, the Torah was put within each individual believer. Six, at Sinai, a mixed multitude accompanied the people, just as people from many countries were present at Pentecost. Seven, Torah means teaching, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher. John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. Eight, it is customary in the Jewish celebration of Shavuot to eat milk foods. The Holy Spirit provides the milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2, Hebrews 5:12-13. How do we know that the Torah can come from Jerusalem as well as from Sinai? Several Tanakh prophecies confirm it, but best known is Isaiah 2:3, featured on the title page of the Jewish New Testament. For out of Zion shall come forth Torah and the word of Adonai from Yerushalayim. Pentecost fulfills this prophecy in a powerful way. And I hope that in a modest, emulative way, the Jewish New Testament and this commentary contribute to the process of Torah emanating from Jerusalem. Because Shavuot commemorates the giving of the Torah, it is sometimes thought of as the day in which Judaism was born. Likewise, because God gave the Holy Spirit to his people in Shavuot, it is sometimes regarded as the birthday of the Messianic community. But one can equally think of Pesach as the birth of a nation for the Jews, who were first portrayed as a unified people in Exodus 12, at the time of the first Passover. Similarly, it can be argued that the Messianic community too came into being on Pesach, since it was when Yeshua died and was resurrected, and we as a community have died and been resurrected with him, Romans 6, 1-8, the Jewish New Testament commentary. A blessing over the Omer. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us concerning the counting of the Omer. Today is 49 days, which are 6 weeks, 7 days of the Omer. The merciful one, may he return to us the service of the temple to its place speedily in our days. Amen, Selah. In Yeshua's name, Bo Yeshua, Bo Shalom.